Blog Talk Radio.
You know, the blues came from way down south. When the cats used to pick cotton and dig ditches, they'd write songs to amuse themselves. And they'd go something like this. Your mama cooked the chicken. She thought it was a duck. She put it right out on the table with his legs cocked up. I love you, baby. You got me running. You got me hiding. You got me running, hide, hiding, running anywhere you want. Let it roll home.
Roundtree7.com, and that's writing knowledge to the social consciousness. And please remember Daughters of Isis, the ancestor aromacology. Please patronize us both. You'll find links on our show page to both places. We're part of a Friday drumline of indie blog talk radio shows, dedicated to informing you via Occupy and by boycotting the MSM, that would be the mainstream media to most people. I've had a couple of folks ask me, hey, what do you mean MSM? So I'm saying the mainstream media. And it gives you corporate messaging. It ignites your urge to buy. It tells you lies about Wall Street, like stooges like Obama and Gingrich and Romney, and you follow me here, I'm sure. So Occupy Blog Talk Radio on Fridays, beginning right here at 4 p.m. with Here Be Monsters, Mic Check, and recap and announcements of Wall Street Occupy Everywhere, pardon me, events, especially local. And we're followed by at 5 p.m. by Dusty Taylor's What's Jerking My Chain This Week, out in Bakersfield, California. And then we segue into Diane G's Wild Wild Left. And Diane, if you'll give me a second here, I'm going to poke back over to Facebook to tell you she has a really, really wonderful guest on today who is going to be informing everybody about, hang on, I'm getting to it here, just a moment or a second or two. Norm Finkelstein is her interview, and he talks about what it is to see, view, experience the Palestinian view of Israel's apartheid on them. Anyways, yes, I did say that. You can quote me, absolutely, anyway. After Diane, out of Michigan, as the 6 o'clock anchor, we have at 7 p.m. Ruth Ann and Brian with a Friday edition of Progress Towards Democracy via Chicago and Fort Lauderdale. And at midnight, that is Pacific time, midnight straight up on the left side of the country, there's always Pinko the Bear show, and he's not to be missed at all. You really got to do Pinko. So I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry, and I'm here in Lake Worth, Florida. I am regretting the loss today of Etta James. I'm sure many of you are. We opened up with her. Listened to a lot of Etta this weekend, you know. The voice lives on. And Friday Mic Check is dedicated to the news of Occupy and relative news and people trying their best to make a difference in the occupied communities. Today our guest is going to be in a little while, Cherie Foytlin, who will be commenting on the news out of Washington about the XL pipeline and its stymie. Cherie was arrested in front of the White House protesting this environmental end-of-days weapon. And she is a leading activist in trying to acquire accountability in the demonstration of governmental and corporate response to the people devastated and dying by the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico and through all the coast states. She's even on her way today to NOLA for some sort of event I'm sure she will be promoting. I know she's going to be calling in route in about another 15 minutes. And until then, I will fill in with the information I have to share with you today about Occupy and the news in general that applies. We enjoyed quite a week, and there's a day of action going on right now out in San Francisco in the financial district. It's being amplified and reflected in New York and some East Coast cities. San Francisco's put this day of action out. It's to occupy the banks out in the San Francisco financial district. Booyah, lots of happy stuff there. And so, you know, hey, that's where we're at with that one. Now, what comes next here? Because there's been on a lot of shows questions where I've decided, and I know a few others have decided, to do a short description so there's no confusion. The Occupy movement began with Occupy Wall Street on September 17th of 2011 in Liberty Square, the renaming of Zuccotti Park in Manhattan's financial district. Occupy is a nonviolent, people-powered movement that has spread to sustained occupations in, good gosh, hundreds of cities in the United States and actions in thousands of cities globally. Occupy is fighting back against the corrosive power of major banks and multinational corporations, a power they have over the democratic process. They buy politicians, let's face it, and the role of Wall Street in creating an economic collapse that has yet to see its end and is the greatest depression in generations. Screw the recession bullshit talk, okay? Yes, we do have a sign that says mature on the radio show, okay. The movement is inspired by popular uprisings last year that began really in 2010 in Tunisia with Mohamed Bouazizi. But it's uprisings from Egypt, Tunisia, Yemen, Spain, Greece, Italy, Ireland, and the United Kingdom, and aims to expose how the richest 1% are writing the rules of global economy and the laws of the land and imposing an agenda of neoliberalism and economic inequality that is foreclosing on our future and destroying our home, planet Earth. So there's your description of Occupy. It's one that pretty much, hi Oscar, I just saw you. I have a script in front of me. You'll forgive me if I don't see all of the chat all of the time. This is our description, and we're going to read it to you every show so there's no confusion. There's some elective irony to start out with. Never mind the obvious from the Republicans. Take a look at the actual platform for the Democratic candidate, okay? We got a piece here from Fire Dog Lake, and it reads, The Charlotte Observer. Now, Charlotte is where the Democratic convention is going to be taking place this election year, and has anybody noticed yet that it's a right-to-work state? How's that for Democratic, huh? Okay, so, quoting Fire Dog Lake for a short paragraph here, the Charlotte Observer leaks the news that once again President Obama will move the Democratic National Convention from an arena to an outdoor stadium on the last night of his nomination acceptance speech. The difference here is that the convention takes place in Charlotte, which means the available stadium for these proceedings is Bank of America Stadium. Okay. A little irony there. President Obama's, now I'm not quoting Fire Dog Lake anymore, but I'm going to say this. President Obama's Jobs Council is issued a new set of recommendations calling for more corporate-friendly policies. How's that, occupiers? The President's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness issued a report backing a reduction of the corporate tax rate. Mm-hmm. Yes, you heard it here. 2040th place, but you heard it here. A reduction of the corporate tax rate, an expansion of domestic energy production, and doing away with a number of regulations. Booyah! Okay? And a visit to the council. President Obama praised the members' work. Okay, I, you know, just go ahead, bend over. Stand up, bend over. Jeez. You can't make this shit up. It's fucking perfect. And I thank Justin Green for giving me that quote. Anyways, so So here we are again. We're still doing it. We've enjoyed a week of actions. First up was a day of remembrance on Monday and community in New York City for Martin Luther King. And a big singing was held at the Riverside Church. Our own P.E. Nolan works there and enjoys that community. It was a successful day of memory and solidarity for the basic Occupy nonviolent revolution. And then J-17, Occupy Congress, that was the 17th Tuesday, in Washington, D.C., attracted some out-of-towners. It's notable, though, that in destinations far off, bus drivers evicted occupiers from their buses. Some stupid people. And I have a little proverb. I'm going to give you a little proverb, and you will forgive me for scrolling and looking for it. But it's a wonderful little ditty written by Woody, 99er Canopic, who is occasionally around here and is often found in Journey from Roundtree 7. It's Woody 99er Canopic's proverb of the week, or what I'm calling it. And he writes, "I frequently see folks who, upon regarding some fresh evidence of human stupidity, depravity, intolerance, and or other ugliness, inquire desperately if we aren't, quote, better than this. The answer is no, obviously, else this shit wouldn't happen. The bus driver who kicked Occupy passengers off his bus in godforsaken, cracker-blasted Amarillo fucking Texas when they had tickets to D.C. because he disapproved of them. He opposed their purpose and left them stranded. Put an asshole in uniform, even a bus driver's uniform, and the stupid comes gushing out." I thought that was rare. That's Woody. And it was a rare piece I really enjoyed, so I hope you enjoyed it just as much. And he does lock down the civil servant, doesn't he? You know, the defensive civil servant. Well, here we go. Okay, so we enjoyed a successful Occupy Congress. We had hundreds of people, not thousands of people, show up for that. Hundreds of people who made a very poignant stand for Occupy Congress and brought attention where it needed to be focused. And so, booyah again. Very successful. Then we had J-18, which was the blackout of SOPA, was an action against SOPA. Wednesday's day of action against SOPA and PIPA was a tremendous success. I mean, we had huge amount of heavy hitters online that actually went with it. If you went around on the web on Wednesday, you saw the blackouts all over the place, from Wikipedia to Roundtree 7 and the Wild Wild Left to ditto the Facebook pages of these groups. People did not at all give in to the day and use their Twitter or use the Facebook. And then at the end of the day, Zuckerberg came out for the blockade or the protests and the blocking. You know, I mean, people are falling in line with this. And then, of course, we had yesterday a major action take place with the United States shutting down Megalode, I believe is the name of the site, where you can go over and, you know, get free programs and files. They arrested six. They shut it down. And so in retaliation, the group Anonymous, which is not anybody you can really point at. And you always have to tell folks this is a group that is, well, primarily anywhere from 15 years old to 35 online, but also there's a huge portion of them that go all the way up to 70. So you've got a lot of folks in there. It takes really over 100,000 hackers to pull the DODDS that they do that shut down sites. And folks don't really get that. So yesterday when they shut down the Department of Justice and all the rest of the large sites that they shut down, including the motion picture industry site and quite a few music entertainment sites and music company sites, it takes, 100,000 hacktivists working consistently for hours to pull these off. So it's not just, some little group mega upload. Thank you very much, Oscar, and hey, Vorb. In physical, that threw me for a minute there. anyway, the 8-year-old, that threw me. So yesterday there was that action. It was retaliatory, and the group promises to put forth more actions to counter these attempts by big corporations and industry to subvert the creative authority of the Internet by enacting things, draconian bills like SOPA or PIPA. So it'd be interesting to know what the chat room thinks. Hi, Stephanie. I see you there, too. Occupy Torrington is with us today. Anyways, moving along. I wonder, too, I have to tell you, I wonder greatly at where people like voices, activist voices, like, I can remember when I was just a little kid how people like Warren Beatty all over the war at the time and all out in the political forum for McGovern and, just lots of people always, voices of Hollywood, which gets attention. It gets we've seen a few at Occupy. But not really very many. You got to wonder where Jane Fonda is, you got to wonder where people like Charlie Sheen, he is a great activist, you wonder where he is. So when we don't have Fonda or Rosie O'Donnell, she went down there, but she isn't really consistent with it. We need that kind of backup, You don't expect it out of what was once the very embryo of this kind of creative dissent, like Spielberg and Lucas. They're part of the greed that's pressing the SOPA agenda now, Think about it. Fuck them. And I'm not going to be buying tickets to any movies or events for a while, I got a feeling. I don't know about you. I mean, I enjoy movies, I enjoy music, and I will look at it through the mediums that I already am paying for, but I'm not going out of my way to support these people and theaters when they're accusing us of robbing them of those profits, and it's a lie. They're actually making loads of money. They just want creative domination. So their creative authority can take a hike. Not into it. Okay, now I want to bring out the information local here, a message from the General Assembly of Occupy Palm Beach County in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. There is here in town a massive conference of banksters and billionaires and buzzards taking place in South Florida this winter. A gathering, it's called the Gathering of Investors and Managers, and it's going to be at the club, at Boca Raton Resort and Club or Hotel, January 22nd and 25th. Now, that's next week. In their own words, quote, GAIM, it's an acronym, USA has a track record of delivering 3,000 of the industry's leading practitioners, hedge funds, and asset allocators from across the globe. Occupy Palm Beach County is calling for a festival of resistance to converge on the game conference site, or as close as we can get to it, and I know the back way in. So there's many ways to get to the front door of the Boca Raton Club, or the back door, which is as good as the front. We're wanting to make our presence loud, bright, and beautiful, so we're asking you to bring banners, puppets, horns, drums, and, of course, a tent. Some of the most egregious aspects of hedge funds and vulture investments are their record of preying on vulnerable economic situations. They make investments. Does anybody hear a little strange noise? Can anyone give me feedback on that? I'm asking Vorth or Oscar. Am I coming in clear? I'm counting on you guys to tell me. Trouble with your mic there. Okay. Well, all righty. They make investments intended to profit from economic crises and pick over the remains of rapidly weakening companies or entire countries. These multi-billionaire corporate investors are cashing in on debts specifically intended to exploit desperate situations, labor conflicts, land struggles, famine, war, climate change, and ecological collapse around the world. Game 2012, the details have not been made public, and the media access to the event is very limited. They're expecting action. And basically, this is local. This is very local. This is our crowd. This is Palm Beach County. So the Boca Raton Hotel is an excellent target, even if it is a very well-guarded target, let me put it that way. But it's not impossible to get through, and there are some folks that can get in there without being questioned and open the door on the back side. So since details have not been made public, the conference of this conference give you an idea of who the companies are that are going to be represented there. Now, this is a gaggle of people that are going to be in. Hello, Krell, I just saw you. This is the group that is going to be anchored in Boca Raton next week to, you know, make plans and strategies to engulf and devour the rest of the world. Bank of America, PP, Cargill, Corrections Corporation of America. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, you know, we need to pull a carry on this one. Citibank, Fidelity Investments, the Carlyle Group, NASDAQ Stock Market Inc., Goldman Sachs. Did you hear? The violins have come out. They're playing in the background. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, you know, the door openers and holders for the whole kit and caboodle. Weyerhaeuser Company, I never could pronounce that puppy. J.P. Morgan, Wachovia, World Bank Group, Koch Industries, and Lehman Brothers, ba-dum-bump. That's who we got in Boca Raton. You know what Bocia Aritan means? It means mouth of the rat. Very old pirate cove. So they're stomping in resonant territory. The names sum up the caliber of the folks attending this event, and this is truly a meeting of the 1%. So while we work to change the course of our society and defend the ecosystems we live in, these investors are placing their bets on the status quo, and that has really put us where we are today. So worse, they're hedging their bets to ensure they're not going to lose. I mean, that's what's going on here. They're all getting together. Okay. I see something here in the chat room that I should probably take a look at. From Crowell, a report that natural gas from shale not suitable as bridge fuel may worsen climate change. And a link, thank you ever so much. I think our guest is with us now. So I'm going to open up the mic. And we're going to be, as I said before, talking with Cherie Freudlin. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? You on the road?
Yeah, I'm on the road. I'm away in New Orleans right
now. All right, what are you going to New Orleans for today, Cherie?
So I got to meet with a reporter down here. She's from France, and she wants to know a little bit more about this bill. And she really wanted to touch on the issues that intimidation tactics that have happened to some of us. With regards to BP, the people that have been speaking out. So meet with her and a friend of mine, Stephen Aquinagua from Mississippi. And his story is really interesting because him and his friend went and swam in the Gulf of Mexico. This was in, I want to say July, but it was in the summer of 2010. It was after the president had swam in that back bay.
Right.
We all know the president really didn't actually swim in the Gulf of Mexico, right?
all know that. Yes, we do.
Okay. So, but they thought it was safe, and so him and his wife went with his best friend and their wife, and they went down there and went swimming, and they all got sick, all four of them. But his best friend actually passed away, and you know, he believes it's because of the swimming. He was 33 years old. And so he's been speaking out ever since, and he was the first person to sue BP because of the toxic chemicals. And his dogs had been killed. He has had to just deal with the police have pulled him over and arrested him for a DUI that was never, I mean, they never was able to prove.
Yeah, no, that's going around. I've heard that before, too,
for
with
like
people
2 hours.
Yeah, holy McGillicuddy.
Yeah. So he's a really good guy, but there's been things like that that's been happening to people that have been vocal about speaking out, and it's a shame, but that's just the way it is. That's the way it goes when their big oil or any major corporation plays their game and they want to keep you quiet. That's what they're going to do. So.
Well, and there's also the government. The government has
and
its
government,
way.
Absolutely.
I've had my bills got rung last week with a letter from the IRS, and I know three other people. I'm sorry, I included me as it's four, who are activists online on radio and in the Occupy groups, and I have not been back with my Occupy group to find out yet how many people might be going through that. So there's stuff happening. There's definitely stuff happening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, if you think about it with the NDAA, that's really, I mean, there's no way that that's anything other than they're trying to keep movements quiet. You know, they're trying to scare people into not going out and protesting and exercising your right to free speech and exercising your right to peacefully assemble. It's just an attempt to call the voices that need to be heard.
That's correct. I agree with you 100%. So where are you going to make your voice heard this weekend? Just with the journalist in NOLA, or do you have an event down
there? We have that, and then I'm trying to think of what's coming up really quick. You know, we have the trial for BP for punitive damages. Basically, it's going to try to decipher who was responsible, again, because it's been decided before, but this one in litigation, BP, Halliburton, or Transocean. And that starts on February 27th in New Orleans. And so okay. I think that
who are the plaintiffs? Who are the plaintiffs in that
action, in that court?
I don't know. You know, I really don't know if it's in federal court, but I couldn't tell you. It can't be the DOJ because they haven't released any criminal charges. This is all for liability issues.
Wow. Do they name Ken? What's his name? The fellow who's
Kenneth
supposed
Feinberg?
To be told. Yeah, Feinberg. Is
no,
he at all?
No, he's not listed in that at all. It's a totally, depending on who you talk to, of course, it's a totally separate entity. And the federal court does have jurisdiction over the GCCF, that's not what that particular trial is about.
Wow. So I have to ask, and I want you to give me all the information today that you have to share with us, but I have to ask right off the bat what you think of the president's decision to temporarily, of course he said he's putting a stop to it. Some folks think it's temporary. Other people think, wow, he really did it. He said no to the XL pipeline. What's your take?
I think that if it hadn't have been for the Republicans pushing the issue, they would have just put it off until after the election and done what they wanted to do. So really it was the Republicans that killed it, in my opinion, more than anything. And, I mean, even in his speech, he brought up the pipeline from Cushing, Oklahoma, to the Gulf of Mexico. That pipeline will be the northeastern leg of the Keystone Pipeline, from my understanding. So, I mean, they're still setting it up. It's like Legos. You know, they're still setting up that group of Legos over there just in case this one comes through after the elections or they change it. They can always reroute it. You know, it's not over. Should we celebrate? Heck, yeah, we should celebrate.
Yeah.
Because for once in a very long time in America, a lot of people stood up for something, and we won.
There you go.
So, it's a good time. It's a good time to say that, and it's proof positive for something we've always known throughout history, that if you have a vision and people are willing to sacrifice and put themselves behind justice and what's right, that they will and win. Now, is the vision complete yet? No, and it won't be for quite some time. But we got to celebrate the little wins and you know that we did. We stopped and had a beer and enjoyed the fact that we're not gonna have that nasty pipeline going over the Oglala Aquifer and possibly causing harm to thousands, millions, maybe of people. So.
Yeah, and there's another reason for celebration. It's been quite a week for the people. Everybody went dark on Wednesday online. People stayed off Facebook and social networks and Twitter and then all those sites, including Roundtree 7, went dark. And basically it made an impression, and they have backed right the hell off SOPA. And yesterday late or this morning, Reed backed off of PEPA, which is
I heard
other.
That. So excited and glad for that.
Well, they wanting to extract creative authority from everybody who's using the internet, first of all, just to profiteer. And larger. And the other part about that is just what you were saying before about squashing people. It's about keeping movements from happening and people, uniting, I think, is a huge part of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely that. And, I mean, if you really look at some of the companies that were for SOPA, some of the bigger like Capcom and Disney and some of those other groups, well, they started some of the pirating sites in the first place. They sponsored some of the first pirating sites. And
yes,
I have to wonder, either one or two things happened. Either they started it so they could say that it was happening and then go to the artists and go to people and, look, we have to do something about this in order to take control of the Internet, or they want to have the only right to pirate, basically. They want to have the only right to license those artists and to license that information to get out. And like you said, to control and to continue to control the internet, because right now the internet really is the only form of free speech really that we have in this country in the form of any kind of media, in my opinion, of course.
And your opinion is shared vastly among the people I know who are active and activists. So I think all of us are of a mind, without the internet, without the social networks, and it is the internet that makes things like Twitter happen, and without it, we lack the coordination to actually get together as quick as we do and make these days of action a reality, which are ongoing. There are a lot of folks that have been saying that Occupy has been slowing down, and that's because they're not hearing as much about the days of action as they were before, because it's cold and there's not enough cameras out there putting it together. But the thing is, they're happening. Today is a day of action in San Francisco. They're Occupy the Banks, and it's so far it's going as a huge success.
That's awesome. I think that Occupy less than slowing down, I really feel like they're evolving. And I feel like with the groups that I've been to Occupy Houston, Occupy New Orleans, Occupy Baton Rouge, Occupy Lafayette, Occupy Washington, D.C., both of them. And I feel like that there was a lot, and I mean a ridiculous amount of organizing that was happening in those tents and at night and in day, and people would meet at certain times and they would talk about whatever topic that they wanted to, and they organized around it. And so even if they're not sitting outside the tent anymore, they're still in living rooms and in foreclosed houses and in,
oh, yeah,
and in businesses and in flash mobs. And that is still incredibly important to pushing freedom and pushing the issues that need to come to light. I know for a fact,
well,
Occupy New Orleans, I was in I was in Bay St. Louis, and I was I forgot, all day long we had either meetings or we had been interviewing people, I can't remember. But I do remember that I was asleep, and I got a call from a good friend of mine, Noah, from Occupy New Orleans, and he said, he texted me, "Sheree, you know, they're getting ready to take the tents down." And he said, "There's 100 cops here." No, I asked how many cops. He said, "There's 100 of them." And I was like,
wow.
"Okay, well, you know, let's call the media. Let's get, you know," and I made some phone calls, and he made some phone calls, and he said, "Some of the media is already here." I said, "Let's get as many people as we can." And it was peaceable. Only one person was arrested. But the thing about it was that the very next day they were supposed to go before a judge and get a stay so that they were that they were going to be allowed to stay. And everybody knew, the city of New Orleans knew, that that was going to go through. So they took it down the day before. And, of course, the judge said, no, they have every right to be there. But when they, you know, I don't know if it came back as strong as it was, but I do know that the very next day, regardless of whether those tents were there, they showed up at a foreclosure sheriff's sale. And they saved a community center that was about to be foreclosed on. And they also saved, when they were there, a man stood up and he said, "My house is under foreclosure and I'm trying to pay it. They won't let me pay. I have to pay all of it. I can't just pay some of it." And they saved his house too. So it really didn't matter. You know, you come tear down our tents, it don't matter. We're still going about the business of making a better world and helping people. Forget them.
It's good to hear. It's very good to hear. I appreciate what you're telling me.
New York, Brooklyn, they have a couple of homes that are occupied that were foreclosed on. They're doing it in Oakland. I believe in Oakland, too, there's a project to something to do with keeping a library open and school. There are actions going on in hundreds of cities in this country, all over the place every day, small actions.
Absolutely.
And large actions.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm hoping, honestly, at the end of February, early March, we're really working to organize to get people over to London to protest the BP being allowed to sponsor the Olympics. And we're meeting with and working with in the future, and hopefully, I'm not really sure where we're at in that, but the Occupy groups over there. helping out, you know, and that's with Operation People for Peace and Gulf Change, and hopefully we'll get more people on board to get as many people over there as we can. And that's
wonderful. You'll have to send me the contact information.
Definitely. It's going to be great. And I think we'll have an event page up on Facebook this weekend. It's on my list of things to do, so probably by Sunday night, if people go on Facebook and look up either Gulf Change or Operation People for Peace or Gulf Oil Spill, we should be able to have those tags all on there and have an event page up. And with as much information as we know at this point, which is very little, but it'll be growing as quickly as we can get the final prices in and the information where we're going to stay and all the lodging and food and things like that. We'll get that plugged in as quickly as possible, but we'll for sure have kind of a general date that people can say, kind of block out and say, maybe going to London at that time.
Wonderful. That's a beautiful plan. That's a beautiful plan. I was just talking about how BP, Bank of America, quite a list of people will be down in my neighborhood next week in Boca Raton at the club, at the Boca Raton Hotel and Club, for a huge conference there that is, they're trying to tap down the publicity on it. Found out, actually, our Occupy group here in Palm Beach, I think, found out from a PR leaflet, a flyer that's been going around amongst employees over at the Boca Raton Club. You won't find it listed anywhere else. So we're planning, and I believe the Occupy Fort Lauderdale group are planning to do some real, you know, occupying next week down here. And the group that is meeting is filled with all of the, you know, Koch Industries, Lehman Brothers, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Carlyle Group, you know, I mean, and BP, you know.
Right.
And they're all going to be down here. And so our Occupy, it's like we're being
great.
Called up to the floor, you know.
Awesome.
And we're getting about doing what we can. Tell me something, Sherry. Is there any specific contact information or other than the London? That's really great to go and that's going to be a protest event ongoing over there against BP for a sustained period of time. Is that the plan?
Right. I hope it to be. I know we'll be there for 3 days, sometime really late February or really early March, and hopefully we'll be hooking up with the Occupy groups and making a big deal. And we have if we can charter a plane, which is what we're looking at, we would have 400 spaces to get people over there. And we're looking for, of course, donations to help with that, to make it as easy, as cheap as possible for as many people as possible. I'd really like to take, you know, as many fishermen that are right now losing their homes,
yes,
losing their cars, and losing their livelihoods.
Yeah,
and I'd really like
you
to
need
take many people that are sick. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yes.
To get over there and really, you know, show people, especially in England, you know, this is what's happening to us, and try to seek some sort of justice, and really just be a thorn in the side of BP, and they can, until they make it right, until they do what they said they were going to do, which is make us whole, then they have nothing.
Absolutely. Well, we really need the information on where to send the money, how to get,
sure,
you know, and get that
That'll
out
be on
there.
The Facebook page.
Okay. Once you get it up, we'll put it in, tagline it into the show. And I'll send it to the rest of the block of Indie Blunt Talk Radio Friday. We've got a whole block of Occupy radio shows going on. I'm on first, then Dusty's on, then Diane, then Brian and Ruth Ann, and then Pinko late at night. And have you gone on and spoken with Pinko the Bear yet?
I don't think so. I'm not, honestly, I cannot keep up, so I'm not sure.
I can imagine. Now, I know you're in route. Is there anything else that you have to share with us today?
Well, I mean, I just want to make sure that people understand that, you know, oil continues, and it's wash up in our marshes. It's all up in our marshes at this point, and it's on our beaches that there's a continuation of carcasses of wildlife that's coming in, fish, birds, turtles. Our dolphins are dying at 10 times the normal rate at this point, and dolphins are mammals, so that really scares me. Also that I went out, I think it was last week, and we've been doing interviews around of people that have been affected and trying to share those as much as possible. You can go on the LEAN, Louisiana Environmental Action Network website, and see a new video that was put up, and I can't remember the name exactly, but it's Children of the Spill that have been affected, that's health has been affected. And you can see, it's like an 8-minute video, but you can see there some of the work that we've all the people, the advocates for the Gulf of Mexico, have worked together to try to get out to the public about the continuing issues with health. At the same time that we were shooting some of that, I met with 9 people. This was a Martin Luther King Day, I remember. I went to a Martin Luther King celebration in Lousdale, Mississippi. And my friend Andre Haynes, who's a cleanup worker, he's been really sick. He was at Power Shift. If people have been following us at all, they know Andre. He's been in and out of hospital ever since, has not been able to work. And he had helped with one of the buildings over there, so we went over there to celebrate with him. And once he introduced who I was and what the work that we do, we had people just coming up from everywhere that cleaned up the spill or that just were residents. And it was just, I'm sick, I haven't got paid. I'm sick, I haven't got paid. I'm sick. It was just over and over the same thing. I never took so many numbers at one time of people that have been affected by this. And the worst situation that we have is just the number of children that have been affected. As far as their health goes, I've seen, you know, children with the lesions that we talk about, health issues, virus and bacterial infections that just won't go away. And if you go see that video, you will see people, grandmothers and mothers in tears with cabinets full of medicines for these little kids. And they just plain don't deserve it. None of them asked to be a sacrifice zone for the nation as far as energy production. And absolutely not one of them, born in the United States of America, born free souls, as we're told, deserves to be treated in a way to where, if nothing else, their voices are blocked out by a foreign corporation in our very own country. So please,
I hear you.
Whatever you do, just understand that those commercials that you see are lies. And that they're behind those are babies that are sick.
And going over to the Louisiana Environmental, what is the name of the site?
It's Louisiana Environmental Action Network. And the video they just put up. And you got to check it out. If you can get that on your website, I would really appreciate that.
We got to get that out. Well, I really appreciate your time, Cherie, and updating us on what is going on. I hope you'll come back as things progress and give us the opportunity to help promote this trip to London and getting folks to put some money towards it, really get people, drive people to give what they can. The truth is that the people who have the least, they are the ones who give the most.
Right. You know, that's always been the way. Always. That's always how it is. We sacrifice the most, we give the most, and we have the most blood in the earth.
It's quite true. That's very eloquently put. Very now. Who's with you on your road trip? You on your own?
No, I got my 8-year-old with me, my little girl.
Oh, wow. Well, you say hello for
sure
the monsters. I certainly thank you for coming on and giving us all this information. We'll get that video up. And the minute you got the news, I'll keep looking on your page, but I'll also, text me, let me know when you have more information. And I'll text you back, ask you when you can come back on and get fuller information to drive people to get over there
it doesn't sound like much, but people who listen and give $5 or $10 or $15 or $20, those they add up very quickly. So
it sure does. It sure does, and it's very much appreciated.
There you go. Well, I hope you have a safe trip.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure. We're at Gramercy now, so we only got another 30, 40 minutes. And I'm really glad that you had me on. I appreciate continuing this conversation with you and getting the information out to people.
Cherie, anytime. So happy to have you. You're doing a hell of a job, a wonderful job, out there amongst the country the way you are, everything you're doing.
Thank you, but it's not just me. There's a lot of people involved.
There are so many, but I'm saying to you, don't stop, darling. Don't stop.
No, not going to happen.
Okay. We're getting ready to buzz off, so I'm going to let you go, give a few call signals out at the end here, and let you go, and we'll talk real close again.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you. That was Cherie Voigtland of Rain, Louisiana. She is one of the major activists that we have working with us. I mean, she's part of Occupy. She's part of the Gulf Impact Project. She is working with the Louisiana Environmental Action Network. She's just everywhere she can be to make the largest difference. You might remember Cherie as the woman who stepped up to the microphone and asked the president to get his butt on down to Louisiana and find out just how very bad it was during the whole thing. She was on CNN, and she challenged him to get down there. And he finally did, but he never addressed Cherie. I'm going to play us off with some words by Cherie on democracy that she made a video, and this is just a smidge of what she had to say. And we will be with you next Friday for Friday Mic Check with Here Be Monsters. Please remember that Diane G has a wonderful guest in Mr. Finkelstein and the Palestinian question today. I know I will be listening. And right up after me in another 2 minutes is Dusty Taylor's What's Jerking My Chain This Week. So get on over there and take a listen. This is Here Be Monsters. We thank you. Sponsored by Daughters of Isis, Ancestral Aromacology, and Round Tree 7, Writing Knowledge to the Social Consciousness.
One thing that I think is important is democracy. What's the number one thing, the number one person that I can get information to and change this and make this better? And at that time, I actually thought it was the President of the United States. I believe that if I, as an American citizen, as a voting person, who have always done the right thing, always worked, always took care of my kids, I pay my taxes, I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, that if I called out to the President of the United States in earnest, that he would hear me. So I called out to him on CNN.
I'm asking you, sir, as a patriot and as an honorable person, to come and hear our story and hear the pain that we are in.
I needed to know at that point if my country and what I believed about my country was real, and I got my answer. It's not. It's not. We no longer are a free society. The corporations are the people, and we're under them. I have no voice. That was the lesson. What do you do if no one hears you? You scream louder and louder and louder, and you stomp your feet, and nobody will still hear you? That's the most helpless feeling in the world. And that's what everybody in this whole situation has felt from the beginning. That's the tragedy of it. It's not just the fact that we lost our culture, we lost our livelihood, we lost endless amounts of wildlife. We lost our voice. In order to secure a future for our next generation, we are going to have to change the fight. do it like Martin Luther King Jr. did and understand that the rights of a human for clean air and clean water are equally as important as their civil rights. I will not, under any